You all are dangerous because you all are still here. Jyoti, don't worry, even if you don't understand what I'm saying. Okay? In time, everything will be made clear to you when the Lord decides. But I'll tell you, the reason I'm saying you're dangerous and you're still here is this. The greatest attack of Satan on you has already done, and you're still here. What he's thrown at you was the greatest. It can't get any more than that. You're still here. Say, I'm still here.
I'm still here.
You are dangerous because his greatest attack didn't destroy you. There's nothing more he can throw on you. It's done. It's only up from here. You get it? You get it? When I was 17, around this time, maybe October or November, I can't really remember, I was invited to speak at a school, Jyoti School, down the road it is, from my house. That was my first formal preaching that I was supposed to do. Before that, informally, I had spoken to a few people. My first formal one to a classroom for 2 days was this one. I was 17. Do you remember that? Did you come as well? You didn't come. A few of them had come. Who later would start my first church with. I think you were in that, right? So here, when I was 17, and now, we are in October. Aren't we in October? I'm 47. 30 years ago. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1. Be quick about it. I want someone with a loud, bold voice to read it. Ezekiel 1, verse 1. Come on.
Now it came to pass in the 30th year. In the
which year?
Month, the 30th year.
Okay, just know that. Go ahead.
In the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God.
See, in the 30th year, the heavens were open. I want to tell you, this is my 30th year, the heavens are open.
Amen.
The heavens are opened above me. All you have to do is stay close. The heavens will be open above you.
Amen.
See, we can talk a lot of things. I have my notes here, right? I'm going to talk about what is the prepared place and what the temple produces. What the prepared place produces. It produces a unique sound. I can talk about it. I have notes. But the Spirit is compelling me to talk to your spirits. So, I'm biding my time. I'm trying to make words. I'm trying to hear what the Spirit is saying so that I can do an impartation today. Right? I want to leave something with you. An impartation. I want to impart. I want to leave an effect on you. I want to leave a fingerprint on you of God. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. With Him we worship Jesus. And if you say, Holy Spirit, teach me, He will teach you. If you say, Holy Spirit, I don't understand, it doesn't matter what your age is. You say, Holy Spirit, I don't understand, He will help you understand. But sometimes you will understand but not have words. You know, have you ever understood something but can't explain it? You just know it? There is an anointing. Megan, what do you want? What do you want, Megan? What do you want? Let me talk. There is an anointing. Okay. And we all know anointing is nothing but technology to deliver what God wants. There is an anointing. And you know, you need an anointing to deliver what God wants to give you. But I am telling you, there is an anointing to receive what God wants to. You have to connect with me now if you want to get something. Otherwise, I'll just be saying words, catchphrases, and that's all it will be. But if you want to catch what the Spirit is saying to you, you have to come up to where I am right now. Here's the thing, God will not tell you come up if He didn't give you the technology to come up. So I'm telling you, the anointing that's on me is on you. The same anointing with which I'm going to reveal something is going to be the same reciprocal anointing you have to receive the very same thing. Because without that, you can't receive it. You have to connect with me. So how much you can pull from me is what's going to come from heaven today. You get it? How much you pull from me is what's going to come from heaven today. Eh? See, we have to fall in love with Jesus. Our experience is stuck. We are stuck in our experience. How many of you felt like you have hit a wall in your spiritual experience? You know, you've been walking and you just hit a wall. You know, young people, you may not understand this because you've not been around. We've been around. I've been around. And I was walking. And suddenly I felt I've hit a wall in my spiritual experience. I've hit a wall in my walk with Jesus. I've hit a wall in my preaching. I've hit a wall in my ministry. I've hit a wall. That's what I feel. Anyone feel like that? Okay, other than the one other person, anyone else feels like that? The rest of you are hypocrites. Because all of you would have felt this. Anyone felt it in the last week, last month? You hit a wall. I hit a wall. And this happened recently. I mean, I've been hitting the wall a long time. So when you hit the wall, you pull out things in your arsenal. You'll first bind the wall. If you're a charismatic, you'll ignore it. You'll bind the wall, right? You'll bind it. I bind the wall. Then you lose the wall. I lose the wall. After binding and losing, what are you going to do? You'll pull out and throw everything in your Pentecostal experience, in your charismatic experience you have at this wall, saying, this experience I'm having is a test from the devil. It's a test from God. It's a test from me. It's a disobedience from me. You are grappling to understand why you hit the wall. Am I making sense to anyone? I'm just trying to put to words what you're feeling. Have you ever hit the wall, Dolly? Maybe you're not, you can't. Maybe you're not as articulate as I am. Maybe you don't sit and think like I do. But if you're truthful, this is what you felt. At times, you said, maybe I'm not reading the Bible enough. Maybe I'm reading the Bible too much. Maybe I've become religious. Maybe I'm not religious. Maybe I should be more kind. You see this? What are you doing? You're throwing these things. And I've done it. I've done it. I hit the wall. See, when you hit the wall spiritually, you'll hit the wall physically and financially and emotionally and relationally. Why? Because your spirit. See, I'll tell you something. Hold up your Bibles, children. The physical Bibles. The rest of you will hold up your phones. I don't want that. Hold up your Bibles. It's a good thing to bring a physical Bible. Hold up your Bibles. Do you know that is a spiritual book? Huh? But you're holding it up physically. Is it a spiritual book? You can put it down. It's a spiritual book. Right? Let me explain. Who wrote the Bible? Come on. Who wrote the Bible? God. Also known as? Jesus. No, not Jesus really. Lovely. Holy Spirit. Thank you, Josh. Holy Spirit, who's God, you know, wrote the Bible. He inspired people. He wrote the Bible. Is he spirit? So can a spirit not write in spirit? A spirit should only write in spirit. So it's actually spirit. Right? So the words I speak to you are spirit. Oh, wait a minute. So Holy Spirit, who's a spirit, God, who's a spirit, wrote something which has to be a spirit. And he says, spiritual things can only be understood by spiritual people. We are spirit. I want to tell you, you are spirit. So I'm not speaking to your human flesh, which is just a vehicle and an agent. So, my dear brothers and sisters, we are gathered today for the reading of the will. You know that, right? This is the reading of the will. Who died? You died. Jesus died. This is the reading of the will. This is where everything is going to be dispensed to you. You know what the reading of the will is? When someone dies and you read the will, we will come to know what we got. That's what the Bible is. It's the reading of the will. And I'm speaking to your spirit as a spirit, from the spirit, from the spirit. So that you can catch spiritual truth spiritually. You're like getting scared now. Don't get scared. You hit a wall. If you hit a wall spiritually, every single thing, because you are spirit, is connected to that, and therefore you have hit a wall in your physical life. Anyone here sick, you hit a wall. Because you're not supposed to be sick. Anyone here broke, not supposed to be broke. You hit a wall. Anyone here emotionally done, depressed, panic attacks, you hit a wall. Any other situations in your life? Come on, any other situations? Anything going wrong in your life? Anything that I've not covered already? What? Financial wall you hit. What else? You don't have purpose. You don't have purpose. You hit a wall. All of it is connected to the spiritual wall you hit. I felt that. I felt it. And I threw everything I had at it. I mean, 15 chapters reading Greek, Hebrew, praying in tongues and listening to my father. I mean, I threw everything at it. And the Lord was quiet. So I said, "You are suspiciously quiet. Maybe let me try this." I said, "Lord, I've hit a wall. What do I do?" He said, "Lift your hands and pray. Praise." I said, "I've done that." He said, "Shut up and do it." I said, "I did it. It didn't work." He said, "Shut up and do it." So I lifted my hands. This happened recently. And I'm praising. What am I doing?
Praising.
As I lifted my hand, as I felt the wall in front of me, I felt like a ledge. So I caught that and I climbed. And I looked up. And there was a never-ending level. And I realized I'm not at a wall, but I'm on the precipice of a new level.
Amen.
You are not at a wall. You are preparing, being prepared to go to the next level. You understand what I'm saying? You hit the step, not the wall. Lift your hands up and praise. Lift your hands up and praise. Jesus, I praise you. Go ahead, Jesus, I praise you. I praise you for this wall, which is not a wall, but it's a call. Go ahead. I praise you for the wall. That's not a wall, but a call. It's not a wall at all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, you can sit down. You get it? It's not a wall. It is your call. Your call is what stopped you. My call is what stopped me. In the 30th year, the heavens opened. I'm telling you, this is my 30th year, and I thought I had it. Now I realize heaven's open. Whoever walked closely with me in the last few days suddenly would realize that something is different. I realize something is different. I'm telling you, you are on the precipice of something different. God always works in threes. How many sections were there in Noah's Ark? Three. You say three, the answer is always right. God is? Three. Man is? You just say three, it'll all be correct. Man is?
Three.
Right? There are three things that remain. Faith, hope and love. Three. Right? How do you worship? Psalms, spiritual things and?
Songs.
Three. Threefold things. You know threefold things, right? The tabernacle is in the wilderness had how many places?
Three.
Three. Go on. How many places? You remember that? You read it in Exodus? Yeah? What are they? What's the first one? What's the first one? Very good. Outer court. The second one? Inner court, or also called as? Correct. Say. Holy place. And? The holy. Three. You get it? Three. God always moves in three. Always. Right? I'm talking to you, child. I'm talking to you, young man. I'm talking to you, old man. John?
Yes.
Right? Get it? The crowd, the disciples, the apostles. Three. God took three up on the mountain. How many he took? Three. Hey, things are opening up for you. Threefold is God's way of working. The Bible, while just hold that in mind, I just want to say something to you. Do you know that many people believe that Satan has earth? How many of you believe that? Some people even preach that Adam was given the charge of earth and he gave it over to Satan. Anyone believe that? I want to tell you that's a lie. Because the Bible says the earth is the
Lord's.
Now the world is a different story. But the earth is the Lord's. And its fullness thereof. And Jesus would later say, all has been given to me. And in Christ, you get it? It never belonged to Satan. Satan threw what he had, the best of what he had at you, and he failed. He had his chance. He has his shot. Finished. Satan had his shot and he failed. Come on, say it. Satan had his shot
at me.
It failed. I want to tell you, you should believe that, because you think Satan is some adversary of God. He's not. He's your adversary. But God fought him. Jesus fought him. Do you know, Jesus nailed Satan on the skull. With his cross, he pierced the skull. The place was called Golgotha, which means skull. So he pierced it. I'm telling you, who is Satan? The Bible says he's a thief, right? But he said he's a thief before the crucifixion. Hear me now. Who said Satan is a thief? Jesus said it. Who were the three people crucified on Golgotha? Three.
Yes.
The man in the middle. Pay attention to the man in the middle. The man in the middle was Jesus Christ, Creator, God in man. Right? Then there was one more man, you know. Apparently he went up to heaven. And the angel said, welcome. How may we process your order? I'm supposed to come in. You're supposed to come into heaven, yes? So have you believed in the salvation and the redeeming blood of Jesus? He said, no. I don't know what that is. What do you mean? How did you make it up here? Oh, I just died and I'm here. I think there's a glitch. There's an error. Let me get my supervisor. So the supervisor angel comes. Aharam. What do we have here? This person has just showed up at our gates, at the pearly gates, and wants entry. That's fine. You, sir, do you know about the sanctification? The whatification? I just showed up. How do you seek entry? He said, because the man in the middle told me I can go. See, all you need is a man in the middle to tell you to go. You believe the man in the middle. And he told you to go. You go. Right? But you see, there was a time when Jesus had just emerged from the waters. And an adversary, Satan, came to him. And he said, if... Say if.
If.
That is the same question thrown to you today. If you are who you are, if you are who God says you are, if you are redeemed, if you are the Son, then why all these problems? If you are who you are, do this and prove to me. That's what he said. You know that story, right? The temptations of Jesus. The three temptations that deal with the world, the flesh and the devil. You know that? The three temptations. Threefold. I should stop saying threefold. You should by now understand everything is threefold. He said, if you are. And when Jesus had defeated him with the right attitude and the right heart, the Bible says he left him for a time and he would return. You know when he returned? He returned on the cross and said, if you are the Son of God, get us out of here. The thief. You're hearing me? The thief that Jesus said will come had come and got crucified. So, while Jesus was being crucified, it was Satan who was being crucified. And that's why he needed to abort the process. He said, if you are the Son of God, get us out of here. He said, nothing doing. I'm going through with this.
Amen.
Hey, are you getting this?
Amen.
So, he nailed Satan on the skull.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say he went down to hell to preach. No, he didn't. He went down to proclaim.
Mm-hmm.
A different thing. He proclaimed the victory.
Yes.
I want to tell you. That Jesus that you serve, you have to understand. You have to understand, you have to love him. Right? So we have to understand that God has called us. But for what? We're meeting here every week. What is the purpose? Why do you come? Some of you have been faithful for what? A decade? Why do you come? What is the need for the word? What is the word doing in your life? You hit a wall and you've lost your sense of purpose. In the outer court, how many furniture was there? Anyone know what is the furniture in the outer court? Come on. Come on. Two furniture. What are they? The brazen altar and the brazen laver. Oh. Oh. Right? The brazen altar is what got us salvation. So we get our salvation in the outer court. Right? Are you hearing me now?
Yes.
We get our salvation in the outer court. It is on the altar that Christ died, right? Crucified. And you put yourself on the altar. You die so that you can have new life. So the work of the cross is depicted by the brazen altar. You getting it?
Yes.
You understanding? So... that is Ecclesia, that is church. I'm trying to get that word. From the church's point of view, historically, the brazen lava was the preaching of repentance that was begun by Martin Luther and them. You're hearing this now. But the church remained in the outer court. There are three churches. Don't be surprised. There's an outer court church, there's a holy place church, and holy of holy churches. So they remain in the outer court. So your salvation experience is in the outer court. You had your experience. But you have to move to the next furniture, which is? It's a basin. Say basin.
Basin.
You say basin in India. Basin. What was filled in the basin?
Water.
And what does the water signify? Come on. You have to talk. You have to draw this out of me. Otherwise, I'm going to stop.
The word.
Signifies the word. It signifies the spirit as well. But signifies the word and the spirit. So once you're born again, you go and get baptized. You have to get baptized. And that's the Baptist movement that started, the Anabaptists. So in the church history, they also stayed there. So you get baptized. But there's something amazing that happens in the lava. At the bottom, what was it lined with? Anyone know what it was lined with at the bottom? Loudly, you should say.
Mirrors.
And what do mirrors do? Reflect you. Except this mirror, you had to look at it through water. So that means the water interrupted your image and showed you an image through the word. That means this place is where you got identity. You died and got identity in Christ in this place. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
It's awesome. Many people camp over there. But we have to go. Say, I have to go forward.
I have to go forward.
But people camped over there. I'm telling you, some of you probably are camped over there. In fact, you're camped just before the basin. You're not even dunking your head into the basin. It's only when you dunk your head into the word, you get a glimpse of who you are. Some of you don't know who you are. That's why Satan can come and shake you. You see, he's a liar who will tell lies. You're a fool who believes lies. How do you get foolishness out of a fool? Hey, there are two kinds of people. Okay? The first kind, from which we get the word actually agnostic in Greek. I think it's agnostes or something. I'll get that name. Is people who don't know. People who don't know. Say, I don't know. A Greek philosopher said the greatest thing that you know is that you don't know. So, say, I don't know. So, there's one kind. There's another kind of people who don't want to know. Say, I don't want to know. I hope you didn't say that, because that person is called the idiotes, from which we get the word
idiot.
You know, the word idiot actually means you don't want to know. There are two kinds of people. One who don't want to know. Even if you give them information, they don't want to know. Right? When you don't want to know, that's when Satan can come and play with you. And when you don't know, that's when Satan can come and play with you. How do you take a fool out of a fool? How do you take foolishness out of a fool? It says, by beating. Right?
Yes.
And how do you beat? Through the word. Oh, you thought I'm going to beat you? I wouldn't mind if you're a volunteer. Some rage therapy is good for me also. You know, they had this thing called rage rooms. Have you ever heard of it? Apparently, they'll fill it with glass and this and the other, give a hammer and tell you go break things. Okay. We need to have one of those for pastors. After preaching, one rage room to go break things, because you can't break your heads. When you dunk your head in the word, then you'll see a reflection of who you are. Until then, you'll be lied to. I want to tell you, Satan has been defeated.
Amen.
And when I say that, you say amen, like as if you believe it, but I know you don't believe it, don't worry. The reason I'm saying you don't believe it, because your life should reflect the fact that you know, not your mouth. But how do you get that information? You dunk your head in the basin. How long? As long. Until you can see a clear reflection. Okay? That is the movement of the Baptists. It stopped over there. Right? Say threefold.
Threefold.
There's threefold churches also. Right? Hey, there are three churches. There is a church in Egypt. There is a church in the wilderness, and then there is a church in the promised land. Yeah? Yes? See, we are on a journey. See, you have to understand, He brought you out. He? Say, He brought me out. He will bring you through to take me in. Turn to Deuteronomy 6 and 23.
He has brought me out. He will bring me through. He will lead me in, because He's in love with me.
Deuteronomy 6:23.
I have brought you out. I will bring you through. I will bring you in, because I'm in love with you.
What does it say?
And He brought us out from
thence. He brought us out,
that He might bring us in.
Ooh.
Give us the land which He swore.
You understand? He brought you out not to leave you hanging, but to bring you in. But many of you have let go of the hand that brought you out and said, this is the greatest experience. I have been born again. And He's waiting there saying, will you join me to go in?
Mm-hmm.
You hit a wall.
I have brought you out. I will bring you through.
Whatever you're going through right now, whatever you're going through, what wilderness you find yourself in, what pain and suffering and sorrow and sickness and disease and disappointments, struggles, I will bring you through. And I will lead you into this place. Now, Eretz. Say Eretz.
Yes.
You know that? Land. But it's more than a land. It's a place. It's His heart.
Because I'm in love with you.
His love for you motivates you. You have to believe that God loves you. Sometimes we read the Bible so much, we become so clinical about it, we forget that God loves us. Say, God loves me.
God loves me.
Come on. Come on again. Say, God is in love with me.
God is in love with me.
Not some wussy pussy namby pamby kind of love with teddy bears and balloons. No, the kind that will stand in blood and spit and stand for you. That kind of love. The Mel Gibson kind of love in Braveheart. You know, have you seen Braveheart? You have to see Braveheart. You haven't seen Braveheart?
You can run, you can hide, but many years from now, lying on your bed, you will ask yourself, if you can have one chance to be here on this day and say, you can take our lives, but you will never take our
freedom.
Braveheart. Many years ago, I saw it. It touched my heart so much. It's a true story, by the way. True story of Mel Gibson. He lost his freedom after that. The Lord wants you to move. There are three kinds of churches. If you're wondering, don't worry. We are going somewhere. There are three kinds of churches. The first church is a church in Egypt. Remember? Outer court? Say outer court.
Outer court.
The church in Egypt. Second church is a church in the wilderness. And the third church is a church in the promised land. Now here's a question for you. Okay? Ready? This church, our church, the Lord allowed us to start it in the year. Anyone know which year we started? You don't know? You're not there? Oh, you didn't come that time when we started. You were not born? So we started before you were born. Interesting. Anyone know when we started? Actually, there are only two individuals other than me who were there when it started. Left in our church. Right? Amit and Ajit. They are the OGs of our church. The OGs. The original gangsters of our church. You remember when he started? When? Tell me. You don't remember. You can't remember because it didn't really start formally, right? We started the church very informally in around 2001. It's a long time ago. How many years ago? You didn't know how many years ago? But formally, I think we started meeting in a place after ITPL and coffee house and here and there, on the street, basketball court, wherever. We met everywhere. After all that, we met in 2004. That's when we started in the Karkada house. You remember? That's when. And then after Arun joined and a few people joined and then we broke. 2004. How many years since we... A church is alive for 19 years, more than some of you have been alive on earth. More than half of some of your lives. Half of your life? More than half your life. Church has been around. So, my question to those OGs who have been around with me for the last decade and so, tell me, where are we? Arun, where are we? Egypt, wilderness, promised land. Close to the promised land. Okay, fair enough. Where do you think we are? Now everyone's going to get scared because everyone jump up and say yes. Ime is the wise one among all of us. Because the Bible says she was quiet. She's wise. So Ime, tell us. With Lisa. That's great. But where? Why with Lisa? In the wilderness. She feels we are church. The beginning, middle, end. Because he feels we are at the end of the wilderness. You feel you're at the end of the wilderness. Which end? This end or that end? Shifting to the next level. Now Ajit will answer us. Tell us about it. What do you feel? Each of you should take stock. It's not a quiz, a right answer, wrong. You should know where you are. We are past. We are already in the promised land. Visionary. Okay, let me explain what the churches are like, then you decide. Right? Let me explain how each church is, then you decide where you are. The church in Egypt went there because of a promise. Yeah? Went there for sustenance. Went there to escape famine. Went there to survive. So the church that starts, that is like an Egyptian church, we call it Egyptian church, is the church that comes together and worships the Lord for survival. To survive. To find like-minded people. But the problem with that church is it's constantly in debt, constantly a slave. Constantly slave to the elements. Constantly being told when they can come for church and when they should not come for church. When they can do and when they cannot do. And their most important prayer of the church in Egypt mirrors the prayer of the Israelites, which is, give us freedom, set us free, give us money, break our debts, break us through, give us breakthrough. We want breakthrough. God is giving us breakthrough. Then looking at the prophets, some more breakthrough. Not happening. Right? We had a breakthrough. Pastor, I had a breakthrough. I got 3,000 rupees more. Now I pray for 30,000. Fantastic. The church in Egypt prays for money. The church in Egypt prays for healing. Am I saying it's wrong? I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just showing you what the church does. Okay? Anyone wants to change their answer, no? You were close to the promised land. She was on the way to the promised land. He was in the promised land. Want to change your answer? The church in Egypt is surviving. Yes, it has the word. It's surviving. But it has the word and it's waiting for the sent one. What I mean by that is it's waiting for that hand of the shepherd to lead them out. You get it? See, Moses didn't turn up to Egypt and say, I'm going to take you out. And they said, you are? Okay. You think that's how it happened? Or did for years and years and years, stories were passed on. Someone's going to come. God's going to lead us. God's going to take us out. Don't give up. Breakthrough is coming. Don't give up. It sounds familiar. Don't give up. Stand. Stand strong. Fight. Breakthrough is coming. Financial breakthrough. Healing is coming. Do not give up. Do not give up. And then when someone comes and says, I have the word to take you out, you say, is he the one that I've not given up for? And then the transition will happen. And in one day, 430 years of back pay will be given. Hey, you didn't get what I just said. I said in one day, 430 years of back pay that was restricted from you, rightfully yours, will be given to you. Whether it's finances or healing. So I did. We did a rudimentary math. That is, for our church, about 30 crores has to come in rupees. That's 430 years. Just very, very humble estimate of 60,000 a month. 30 crores should come, right? Healing should come. The Bible says, when they left Egypt, not one of them were feeble. In the leaving was the healing.
Amen.
Hey. I just dropped something there. In the leaving was the healing. In your migration is your healing. Not in the begging. Because that fellow was begging and begging. He never got anything. It was in the getting up and the going he got the healing. The Bible says as they were going, they got healed. Talking about the blind people. Or was it the lepers? The lepers. The church in Egypt prays for sustenance. Prays for needs. Give us today our daily bread. I announce to you, we are the church in Egypt. I announce to you, we are in Egypt. I'm sorry to disappoint you, Ajit. We're not in the promised land. It feels like the promised land. Just turn around and you're still Egyptians there. I'm sorry to disappoint you. We're not at the edge of the wilderness getting ready to go in the promised land. It's just an illusion. We're not even left Egypt. Sorry to disappoint you. You don't even know what the wilderness looks like. The wilderness will kill you. You're safe in Egypt. Because if you're not ready for uncompromising, for a lifestyle of not giving up, for a lifestyle of being steadfast with the Lord, stay in Egypt. Because the wilderness will kill you. Do you understand what I'm saying? The church in the wilderness, on the other hand, is a sturdy, strong church that gets crazy revelation. I mean, crazy revelation. You thought you got revelation till now? The church in the wilderness does not pray for sustenance. Yes, there are a few stupid people who. But in the church in the wilderness, focuses on Jesus, because the Bible says the rock followed them and from it came water. Who is the rock? Christ. From whom the water flows. You get it? The wilderness is the place where manna came from heaven. And who is the bread from heaven? Jesus Christ. Are you catching this now? The church in the wilderness focuses on Jesus. It centers on Jesus. It embraces Jesus. Centralizes Jesus. Says Jesus and Jesus alone. If you're not like that, we are saying money, finances. Are you getting this now? The church in the wilderness is kept in the heat of the day and the cold of the night by Jesus. The church in the wilderness gets a divine impartation from heaven. Divine impartation from heaven. Architectural design of heaven. To replicate on earth. Never happened before. Actually, it happened in Noah. Sorry, it happened before. You get it? Noah's Ark.
Yeah.
Noah's Ark became the tabernacle. Which became a people. Right? Threefold. You get it? So the church in the wilderness had the architectural design of heaven. They replicated heaven then. That. You're replicating heaven on earth. Oh, I thought you'd be excited about that statement. You're not excited. Because you're still stuck in Egypt and still want money. You're not understanding that we have to transition to the wilderness. But you will not transition until you get your money. Because the Bible says so. You will go out with the gold of Egypt and not one of you will be feeble.
Amen.
So you're not doing a wrong thing. It's just time the Passover is nigh. I'm telling you, the Passover is near. Gird your loins, and those of you, get ready. Don't get comfortable now.
Mm.
You have to eat standing up.
Yes.
Eat standing up, because we are getting ready to transition.
Yes.
And so, the church in the wilderness is a church where the revelation of Christ is preeminent in their life. You take anyone from there and you squeeze them, out comes Christ. They were maintained by Christ. It's a beautiful place, right? The hand of the shepherd brought them out of Egypt. The hand of the shepherd led them through the wilderness. But it will take the hand of a soldier to lead them into the promised land. Typifying Christ. Have brought you out. I will bring you through. I will lead you in. Because I'm in love with you. I sang this so many times. Did you catch the thing? That it is He who's going to do all the things. You just have to be available. You, when I said you're Egyptian church, how many of you felt disappointed? How many felt, what? After all this, that's where we are? I want to tell you, He will bring you out.
Amen.
He'll bring you out. By His strong right hand.
Amen.
He will lead you through. And He will lead you in. If you focus on the I, that's God talking, then you will realize it's not given to you.
Yes.
Just be part of the company.
Mm.
That's all you would be. Be part of the company. When Moses came and announced, I'm going to take all of you out, and you had gone to visit an auntie on the other side of Goshen. Right? Or you had a side piece of Egyptian side piece that you went to visit there. You know? An extra stepney, if you understand what I'm saying. A lover of Egypt. And you're there. And you didn't hear the word. And then you come back after your love tryst with your Egyptian, and you come back, and all your people are gone. You're all alone. Because you had a love tryst with Egypt. Yes, you are a church in Egypt, yes. But that doesn't mean we compromise in Egypt. You get it? Be with the church. So I'm telling you, you're in a dangerous place. Yes, I already told you you're dangerous. But you're in a dangerous place of missing the move. Remember the man at Bethesda? Bethesda. Hmm? Jesus came. He was lying there. What do you want, man? There's no angel. I mean, when the angel comes and stirs the water, there is no man for me to put me in. You remember that?
Yes.
You remember the story? I want to tell you, I'm not the angel, okay? Come to stir the water, neither was Jesus. He's like, stir the water, I'm going to stir you.
Yes.
He stirred him. But here's the thing I want you to focus on. What if that day he did not go to beg? What if that day he didn't turn up at that beautiful porch? See, I tell you, Jesus turns up. What if you didn't turn up? Look at you. You guys are here. There are some who didn't turn up today. I'm not punishing anyone. After hearing me for a while now, I've been speaking for about 30 minutes now. Do you realize this can't be recorded? Do you realize this can't be rehearsed? Do you realize it can't be transmitted? You realize you heard what you heard? That's all. That's the end of it. Okay? He will lead you out. But you must be there. Must be available. I want to tell you, the time has come. And with great sorrow, I'll tell you, some of you will not make it. Some of you will not make it. You'll be stuck in Egypt while we transition into the wilderness. I just pray it's not you. I'm talking to you. I'm seeing you in the spirit. I'm talking to you. I pray that you'll gird your loins up. I pray this is a word of warning and advice. As a father, I'm telling you, I'm leading you out. I'm leading you out. You thought the breakthrough is important? No, the breakthrough is but a clarion call, a trumpet call for the leading out. The breakthrough is the evidence. The breakthrough that you'll have financially, and the healing breakthrough that you'll have, emotional breakthrough that you'll have. You want to stand and stretch? Stand and stretch. It's okay, stand with me. Come on. Stand and stretch. Stand. All of you stand. Stretch. Stretch yourself. Okay, sit down. What are you standing for? Sit down. All of you. Sit down. Right. The breakthrough that you're praying for, the breakthrough is but a symbol, a clanging symbol, a loud noise to tell you we're transitioning. The breakthrough is not the transition. You thought the breakthrough is a transition. You really think God is interested in 1 crore and 2 crore and 10 crore? You think that is it? Seriously? You think that's what God is interested in your life, to give you 1 crore? How many of you, honestly, you don't lift your hands up because you'll be anyway liars. How many of you honestly, with all your heart, believe that if you have 10 crores today, your problems will be solved? Don't answer me, but I know who you are. I know who you are. And that's in your mistake. You'll have 10 crore problems if you don't have Christ. But if you have Christ, everything will be solved. I'm telling you, the demons that you faced in Egypt will come near you no more. Hey, you didn't hear it. Let me say it again. The demons that you faced in Egypt, the sickness you faced in Egypt, the death that you faced in Egypt, yes, the problems you faced in Egypt, the deprivation, the loneliness, the rejection, you will feel no more. Instead, you'll get new problems, new demons. No one's saying amen for that. Because the Lord will give you strength.
Yes.
You see, David had 3 anointings. Oh, what is this with 3? Huh? How many anointings he had?
3.
Tell me where the first one in the Bible. Don't tell me the first. 1 Samuel? 16, well done. Come on, you should know your Bible. Second anointing. 2 Samuel. 2, 4. Third anointing. 2 Samuel. 5, 2. 1 Samuel 16:30. Right? That's where the first anointing happened. There was a second anointing, and then there was a third anointing. There's a church in Egypt, there's a church in the wilderness, and then there's a church in
Promised Land.
The first anointing is for the church in Egypt. But there is a second anointing you have to wait for. But there's a third anointing. The first anointing, he killed the lion, the bear, and Goliath with one anointing. The bear talks about the ferociousness of the earth and the world and its system and Babylon and Egypt and all of it. The ferociousness with which it takes your time away, takes your energy away, takes your motivation away, depresses you. Right? Tells you that they will call you in a week but not call you. Keeps you on edge. Tells you you're dependent on me. When I call you, you'll be happy. When I don't call, you'll be sad. You get what's happening. The ferociousness of the bear. Then the lion talks about the devil. The devil roams around like a roaring lion. So, you defeat the world. You defeat the lion and then you defeat Goliath. What is Goliath? He's a Philistine. What does he represent? What does Philistine represent? You don't know? It represents the flesh. It represents the desires of the flesh. The fleshiness of us. The sinful nature. You defeat all that in the first anointing. David did that. But how did he do it? He had a sling and a stone. He got the stone from a brook of flowing water. When you take a stone from water that's flowing, that is the present truth, that's the now truth, the now word, you will defeat the lion, the bear, and Goliath. No problem. No problem. You don't need anyone's sword for that. You got it? Many people have camped at the first anointing. Many people have camped in Egypt. Egypt is awesome. You have the first anointing in Egypt. Yes, you're praying. You're praying for money, yes, but you have defeated these foes. But there is a second anointing that happened at which is the place? Hebron. You get it? At Hebron. That is the wilderness anointing. He was in the wilderness when he got anointed. I want to tell you there's a second anointing. That anointing will open you up to heaven. It will tell you of things to come. It will make Jesus the center of your life. That's a beautiful anointing, trust me. You will go beyond your needs and wants. You will worship Him. You will love Him. We leave the Promised Land Church and the third anointing for some other day. Let's first transition to this one. Huh? You get it? The third anointing is the anointing of dominion. Dominion! Not to dominate. To rule. To rule. To represent. The outer court was where you got born again. You see, the Bible talks about believers. There is a born-again believer,
There is a spirit-filled believer and there is a mature believer. Everyone either camps at being born again or at being spirit-filled, but very few go to the Holy of Holies with maturity. Threefold. Baby, young man, mature man. Threefold. You get it? Threefold. The church in the promised land is a church of Zion. Is a church of peace. Church of rest. You thought you have peace because there's no war. You'll have peace in war. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. But let's transition. Let's not be in a hurry. Let's transition to the wilderness. Because in the wilderness is the testing of sons. Oh, we forgot about that. You thought sons, and you're a son. How many of you feel you're a son? Okay, three of them do. Okay, four, five of them do. Fine. The rest of you, whose sons are you? Because you're a son or one or the other. Right? How many of you are sons? Well, you'll be tested now. You said it. So when we transition, be ready because you'll be tested. The wilderness tests sons. Where was Joshua manifested? Was it in Egypt? Did you know about Joshua when he was in Egypt? Do you know him? Anyone know? No? Where you knew him? In the wilderness. You get it? The wilderness will show a son. The wilderness will show a son. So get ready for wilderness. The name sounds intimidating, wilderness. But I'm telling you, it is a place where you will draw close to God and His body. Because you have nowhere to go. It's too cold or too hot. Wild animals. You will come to the place where you realize God is my only source of support and strength. That's it. I have nobody else. And you won't say it as a slogan. It just becomes a matter of fact. A truth of life. When someone comes to you, they will know, hey, this fellow only trusts in God. Why? Because we live in the wilderness. We have no choice. We have no choice. He keeps us. He leads us with a mighty hand. You get it? He brought us out to lead us through. He'll lead us through. He won't leave you alone. Don't worry. Don't get scared of wilderness. He'll bring you in. The holy place had furniture. What furniture it had? Candlestick. Then lampstand. Then the altar of showbread. There's too much to talk about it. I don't think we'll finish today. And? The incense stick. Table of incense. There's too much to talk today. But the candle, if you look at it, if you study it, we studied it a little bit. What does it represent? Light. And who is the light? Jesus said, I am the... Let's go back to this. What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and life. Threefold. What's the threefold that Jesus, I wonder? So you come in from the outer court, that's the way. You come into the holy place. That is the truth. Because Jesus is truth. And then you go to the Holy of Holies, which we'll leave. Because you won't be able to handle it right now. The holy place has the light, which is the word of God. Has the bread, which is the word of God. Has the incense and all of it. Talks about Jesus. Centers around Jesus. Focuses on Jesus. The church in the wilderness focuses on Jesus. Are you getting this now? Yes. Are you getting this? This is the church of the wilderness, the church of the holy place. That is the church of Egypt, the church of the outer court. That is the church of the promised land, the church of the Holy of Holies. There are three kinds of churches. Are you getting bored? Are you connecting with me? Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, this connects you to Christ. Christ connects to you. You see, the Bible says it was a hand's breadth, the table. Talking about the hand, talking about the fivefold ministry. That's where the fivefold ministry will come to fruition in the wilderness. We don't have a fivefold ministry right now. The fivefold ministry will come into our church.
Amen.
Thank you. You thought we had the fivefold ministry. I operate in a few things, but we will get the fivefold ministry. I told you about the fivefold ministry. The hand, I'm sure you know the illusion of the hand, right? The thumb is the apostle, right? The longest finger is the evangelist, the prophet. He stands out. Actually, this is the evangelist who stands out. The prophet is the index finger. Yes. He points his finger.
Yeah.
Right? The ring finger.
is a covenantal finger, talks about the pastor, and the little finger to clear your ears out is a teacher, and the thumb can go anywhere he wants. He can operate in all the five. So that's the, you know that. This is not something new, I'm telling you. You heard of it before, right, Ajit? Oh, if you visit the next level seminar we had, you must have heard it there as well. So the fivefold ministry will be there. Bread is there. Incense is there. You're getting this now. The holy place. And who's allowed in the holy place?
Priests.
Not high priests. 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 Say priests.
Priests.
Say I'm a priest.
I'm a priest.
The wilderness will expose your priestly anointing. Where's the money? Show me the money. When you have a priestly anointing, the Lord says, I am your inheritance.
Yes.
Hey, you didn't get that. Yes. Others are asking for money, you're asking for the one
yes.
who owns the whole world. Priestly anointing. You getting it? And then of course we transition to the which we'll not talk. It's all written in the book you should not read. You know, there's a book that you should not read. Hold it up. That's a book you should not read. Don't you dare read it. Then you will get to know who you are. And once you get to know who you are, you'll be unstoppable. Right? I'm done. I feel the spirit has lifted. I feel he said what he has to say. Now you have to take what I have said and unpack it. I have painted with broad strokes. I have thrown seed. 30-fold, 60-fold? Oh! 3-fold again. 30, 60, 100. Some of you will get 30. Some of you 60. Some of you 100. He who has ears, let him hear. Alright? May the Lord bless you. Come, let's stand.
I have brought you out. I will bring you through.
Holy Spirit, we hear you. We receive your word. This morning, teach us. Teach us all things. Help us hear all things. Everything we want. We want to leave nothing behind. Help us to transition, Lord, from this Egyptian church into the church of the wilderness. Help us, Lord. Help us understand and move. Help us to hear the voice of the shepherd, the hand of the shepherd, and move. You are the shepherd, Jesus. You are the teacher, Holy Spirit. Help us. I pray that every ear that heard, whether the mind and the head understood it or not, that they will transition. We thank you, Lord. We receive in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Please be seated. So, children, are you sort of wondering what happened?